You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tonight, the debate. And there's a lot of things that will not be discussed. We just know they won't be discussed, that should be discussed. Because both sides have their hands in those pots. Or because the news media doesn't want to talk about it. Or whatever. And, you know, let's go through some of those things. And also, I'm curious what you would like to hear asked. What questions would you like to hear asked tonight? We will get into your calls and comments about that in a little bit. But first, I wanted to share just a couple of things with you. The first is Ellen Ratner yesterday on this program in our news segment pointed out that there was a new study out of Ohio State University that just talk about timely. This actually came out in September, but it's making the rounds right now. It was published September 24th. And so that was just a week ago, I guess. And so, more or less. And so the essence of this study is that it doesn't matter what happens during the debate. What actually matters in terms of the long-lasting impact, in terms of the consequences of the debate on the polls and the elections, what actually matters is the spin put on the debate by the media after the debate. The things that the media decides to focus on. The media decided in the first Bush-Gore debate to focus after the fact on the fact that Al Gore looked at his watch and sighed a couple of times. Now, you know, if they hadn't pointed that out, most people wouldn't have even noticed it. And yet, those people who decided that they didn't really like Al Gore, many of them cited that moment. They did an actual study on this. They took a bunch of young people who had not seen the 2004-2008 debates, college students, you know, who just had... they'd been in high school or junior high school or whatever. They weren't paying attention to politics. They didn't watch the debates. And let them watch, you know, a 2004 and a 2008 debate. And then afterwards shared with one group commentary about the debate that treated the debate like a blood sport, like a gladiator sport. Who won, who lost? Who nicked the other guy? Who delivered the knockout punch? Or like a horse race sport, you know, who got across the finish line first? Who was the winner? Or like football, you know, who had the Hail Mary pass and who finally scored the touchdown? That kind of stuff. One group of students, after watching the debates, they then were exposed to media that treated the debates as if it was win-lose sports. And then another group of young people, of college students, were exposed to the debates. They watched the debates. And then they were exposed to media that didn't discuss who won and who lost, that wasn't overtly partisan, but instead talked about the issues that were discussed exclusively. Now, I'm guessing this would be, you know, PBS kind of stuff. And it wasn't a matter of, hey, did you see how he looked at his watch? Oh, boy, that's going to take him down. But rather it was, hey, did you hear him talk about how we should change the way capital gains are calculated? That's a fascinating idea. Did you know that in France, this is actually true. This is something that you're not going to find in the American media. This is not from the 2004-2008 debates. It's from right now. I did not find this anywhere in the American media. I found this on the Financial Times. That we have a capital gains tax rate, special rate for Mitt Romney and Paris Hilton. Maximum 15% federal income tax. That's it. Mitt Romney thinks it's fair. And then we have a 35% top tax rate for people who actually work for a living, who make their living with their minds, who make their living with their muscles, who make their living, you know, would you like fries with that or standing in the store or whatever, you know, from bus drivers to rocket scientists, 35% top tax rate. But if you make money with money, if you live off an inheritance like Paris Hilton and you live off the dividends from that, or if you live off dividends that you are generating or what's called carried interest, as the Wall Street billionaires do, then you pay a maximum 15% income tax rate. Well, in France, you know, they raised the top tax rate up to 75%. And that got all the play in America. 75%? Oh, you know, their billionaires are going to leave town. Shades of Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's novel, where the billionaires went on strike and they left the country and everything fell apart. Well, the French aren't really worried about that. They may lose a few billionaires. They really don't care. They're going to save the republic. But the thing that was never covered in the American media, at least that I ever saw, maybe you did, and if you did, let me know, but I never saw this, was that France had a capital gains rate that was lower than the ordinary income rate, just like we do. And they raised their capital gains tax up to the same as the ordinary income tax rate, which, according to the Financial Times, was a 60% tax increase, which means that it must have been a 15% to take it up to 75%. So now the Paris Hiltons and Mitt Romneys in France are going to have to pay the same tax rates as the rocket scientists and the teachers and the cops. Whereas here in the United States, Mitt Romney is still defending. I mean, he did this on 60 Minutes the other day. Still defending a capital gains top tax rate of 15% for people who make money with money. People who make money out of the corporate form. Well, you know, that corporation already paid taxes on that money. Well, gee, you think maybe people paid taxes on the money that they gave to the advertisers of this show that then came to us, that we then paid our, you know, that I used to pay my salary and Shane's salary and Jim's salary and Danielle and everybody. Why don't we all qualify for a 15% tax rate? I mean, that money was taxed before it got through the company that you know, advertised on our show. It's like, why don't we pay that, you know, 15% tax? Mitt Romney doesn't want to talk about that. So that's, in my opinion, that should be one of the top questions for tonight. France just did away with their capital gains tax, or, you know, they still have it, they still call it that, but they basically raised it so that the Mitt Romneys and Paris Hiltons of France now pay the same income tax rate that your ordinary rich people pay. Or your ordinary people who just have high incomes, your brain surgeons and rocket scientists pay. Isn't that something we should do here in the United States? We already know Mitt Romney's going to say, oh, no. My paying 50. This is how Mitt Romney only paid 14% income tax on $20 million income. 14%. It's because he started at 15%. Then he knocked a point off for all the money that he gave to his church. So that would be my first question. Now, there's a whole bunch of others that are on the list, as they say. I'm going to share with you after the break here some of the ones, the 10 questions that the Heritage Foundation has suggested. 3 questions that Michelle Malkin has suggested over at National Review Online. There's some goodies here. Robert Reich put together 10, a bunch of questions, actually for both Romney and Obama, that I thought were really, really solid. You can see those over at robertreich.org or Common Dreams. And then Think Progress has their 5 questions that should be asked but probably won't be. And then, that's pretty much it. New York Times, there's a few others. But and we'll pick up yours as well. Stick around. 15 minutes past the hour. What's going to happen tonight? And what should happen?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What are the questions that will be asked? What are the questions that won't be asked? How does, you know, if Romney comes equipped with zingers, how does Obama shoot them down? Is that sports? Okay, so first of all, Mitt Romney tonight, this is what he thinks is going to be his biggest challenges. This is clip number 1, Shano. Mitt Romney really thinks he's going to have to struggle horribly with this. Here he is.
But I think the challenge that I'll have in the debate is that the president tends to, how shall I say it, say things that aren't true. And in attacking his opponents, I've looked at prior debates, and in that kind of case, it's difficult to say, well, am I going to spend my time correcting things that aren't quite accurate, or am I going to spend my time talking about the things I want to talk about? And
well, that is a challenge. Probably, given that it's possible to interpret certain types of realities in varieties of ways, I mean, that might be a challenge for both sides. I know that's one of the big challenges I have when I'm debating conservatives, or anybody on any topic for that matter, is if they bundle three or four things that I think are wrong into a single sentence and then end up with a question mark, it's like, which one do you take? Do you unbundle that? And if you don't take all of them, have you just implicitly agreed with them? It's like, you know, the other day on Meet the Press, David Gregory asked David Plouffe a question, this long question that had all these pieces to it, and right in the middle of the question was, and if the president cuts Medicare as he said he wants to do? Well, he's not said he wants to do that. But that was right in the middle of the question, and David Plouffe, yeah, he basically had no opportunity to answer that because that wasn't what the big question was all about. We're going to have to dig that clip out and play it for you. It's mind-boggling. So Bill Kristol, the guy who had the brilliant idea for John McCain that he should take Sarah Palin as his running mate. This was Bill Kristol's idea. He met her on a cruise to Alaska. No, seriously, they have these cruises, you know, and the right-wingers, they rent a cruise ship, and you can go and hang out with your favorite, you know, right-wing star, you and Bill Kristol, you and Michelle Malkin. And he was on this cruise to Alaska. He met Sarah Palin, and he thought, wow, she could be a vice president. She could be president. So here's his advice to Mitt Romney.
And I think he needs to go right at Obama. My main advice would be ignore Jim Lehrer, ignore the moderator, sort of like Juan does with you. You know, when Juan and I, when Juan argues with me and just ignores all of your questions and all that, he's got to take, do not answer Jim Lehrer, go after President Obama.
Right. Don't answer the moderator, just go after the other guy. Well, that's actually not all that uncommon. I've seen it done a lot, so we'll see. Chris Christie. Now, actually, let me back these up. Here's Dan Senor. He's lowering debate expectations. Clip number four.
Sounds like you're trying to lower expectations now.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you that President Obama is a very experienced debater. We saw how he did in 2008. And Vice President Biden, I would say, is one of the most experienced debaters in national politics. He's been doing this for decades. He's run for president a few times. So these are very accomplished, experienced men on the debate stage.
Now, that's the official narrative of the Romney campaign, is it's going to be tough. You know, Mitt doesn't, you know, he's never had a presidential debate before with a sitting president or even with an actual candidate from the other side with a Democrat. And he's always debated Republicans. And he just, you know, he's not the world's greatest debater. He's a multimillionaire, a hundred millionaire, but debater? But there's one guy who had something different to say, and there's something about this one guy. The one guy was Chris Christie. Here's what Chris Christie had to say, clip number three.
And I just know I've watched Mitt Romney do this, and so have you, Bob, over the course of every time he was backed into a corner in the primaries, he came out with a great debate performance because that's where he shines. And he's going to do a great job on Wednesday night.
So Chris Christie, the lone Republican who's out there saying, oh, yeah, expect Mitt Romney to do spectacular. Why would he be the one guy who's speaking differently than all the rest? Well, maybe because Chris Christie very much wants to run for president in 2016. Chris Christie was in Iowa last week. Now, what's Chris Christie doing in Iowa? He's the governor of New Jersey. Why is he going around small towns in Iowa, going to county fairs and things and eating, you know, fried ice cream on a stick? Because he wants to be president. He's trying to, you know, chummy up with the Republican establishment in Iowa. Why? Well, Iowa's where it all begins, sort of. You know, Iowa, New Hampshire, you know, it's. So is this an attempt by Chris Christie to sabotage Romney? Or is it simply Chris Christie saying, I'm the optimistic guy. I'm the guy who knows, you know, it always works. You can count on me. I mean, just think back to his speech at the RNC. It was not about Mitt Romney. It was really not even about the Republican platform. It was about Chris Christie and how wonderful he is, how smart he is, and all the things he's done in his life and where he came from and how he got here. And now, and then, you know, finally, this is Paul Ryan. This is yesterday he got this question. What do we do about these people who don't feel like they own the country?
We have 47% of the people in the United States pay no taxes, federal income tax. Is there any way possible that this 47% can pay a nominal fee or something so they feel that they have small ownership in the government? Maybe they won't take all the handouts so readily.
I got an idea. Let's help them get jobs so they can get a good paycheck so then they're good taxpayers.
Well, that's a perfect bumper sticker. Right. And we all think that jobs are a great idea. But are you really suggesting, Paul Ryan, that people on Social Security should get a job to pay taxes? Are you really suggesting that disabled people living on disability should get a job to pay taxes? Are you really suggesting that our military who don't pay federal income taxes should be paying taxes as they put their lives on the line? I mean, really? That the unemployed should be paying income, you know, some minimal fee. Well, the unemployed, he said, let's get him a job. I guess that's the one category. But this whole meme of the ownership society, I expect that to come up out of that to be coming out of Mitt Romney's mouth tonight, too. So we'll be back after the break with the questions that you would like asked and a few that
you're
others
listening
like.
To the Tom Hartman program. Call 866-987-THOM.
As well as Michelle Malkins and the Heritage Foundations and Robert Reich's questions. Stick around. Four minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Okay, Michelle Balkan says tonight, left-leaning TV anchor Jim Lehrer of government-supported PBS will moderate the first 90-minute presidential debate in Denver. Lehrer alone will determine the topics and questions for six 15-minute segments, and then he will control an open discussion. We all know the liberal media bias drill. Make the Republican candidate look like a scary extremist on social issues and a greedy capitalist pig on economic issues. Avoid the Democratic incumbent's record of failure. Run out the clock. Thank you and good night. Michelle Malkin. And the question that she would ask is, if the buck stops at the top, why does Attorney General Eric Holder still have a job after years of official DOJ obstruction and falsehoods during the Fast and Furious investigations? Oh, you mean those investigations where they did an investigation into the investigations and found that Daryl Issa was, you know, like a dog chasing its tail? That there was no there that exonerated the attorney general? That's going to be a tough one. Stephen in New York City. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, questions. Tom, how are you?
I am well.
I had two questions. My first question would be, would Romney be in favor of a 15% flat tax for all American workers? And the second question would be, would Obama be in favor of passing a constitutional amendment requiring all Americans to vote and making it a felony if anybody interfered with that ability?
Okay, that's really three. But first of all, do you think there should be a 15% flat tax on all Americans?
Romney does.
Well, no, Romney is suggesting that there should still be a progressive income tax and that the lowest rate should still be zero.
The lowest rate. Well,
yeah.
Maximum.
I mean, there's a bunch of right wingers who would love to have a flat tax, and they would love to have those people who make so little money that they basically can't even afford to pay for rent and food, to have them pay some percentage of their income as taxes, so as to reduce the burden on the billionaires. But I don't even think Romney is that crazy.
Offering a 15% flat tax rate.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that Romney, what he said is he wants to cut all the tax rates by 20%. He wants to top, you know, and then he's going to close the loophole. So you can no longer, presumably, you can no longer deduct, you know, get a child deduction if you have kids. You know, you can no longer deduct your home mortgage. You can no longer deduct medical expenses, things like that. And, it'll make some money, I suppose. Although when you, and thank you, Stephen, for the call, when you add up everything, it doesn't add up. I mean, Romney's numbers just don't work. And this is why Paul Ryan, people keep asking Paul Ryan, would you please explain the numbers? And he keeps saying, no, sorry, take too long. Oh, gee, we're in a town hall meeting. You have a half hour. No, no, it'll take too long. Just go to the website. You can see it. It's all there. Yeah. And then with regard to the national requirement to vote, I think there's actually something to that. You know, in Australia, they do it. You're required to vote. I mean, you're not required to vote. It's just like in the United States, pretty soon you're going to be required to have health insurance. You cannot have health insurance and pay a $700 a year tax. That's the tax part that the Supreme Court identified as a tax. John Roberts used that little device to be able to say, oh, yeah, this artifice, this. So, you know, you can choose not to have health care or health insurance, rather, but you got to pay the $700 tax. So in Australia, you can choose not to vote, but you have to pay this tax or this fee. I'm not sure that's such a bad idea here in the United States. So anyhow, question for Romney from John in Sycamore, West Virginia. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? I'd like to ask Mr. Romney if on 60 Minutes he was talking and he said that it's okay to pay, you know, 14% on capital gains tax because right. It was already taxed once. But Bain is a partnership. It's not a corporate. And it's not taxed there. It's a tax by the partner. Each partner has their own tax.
Oh, that's interesting.
Things to go because I was in a partnership and, you know, that's how that works. So it's not taxed twice. See, he's lying when he says that. And secondly, I'd like to, I'm so tired of our media. You know, they don't speak for us and it's frustrating, so frustrating. We don't have no voice at all except for, you know, social media, but on TV, it's like they speak for us, but they're not speaking our language, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it. I mean,
yeah.
We have no outlet. I'd like to have a debate where we can ask questions.
Well, that's I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but you know, we've seen this in the past where they've tried to bring in questions from Twitter or from YouTube or things like that. And I'm guessing that when this gets to the network stuff, you know, the second and third debate, probably there'll be something like that. But then it still goes through the filter. And thanks for the call, John. Good point. It still goes through the through the filter of the media deciding what they're going to put up and what they don't. Here's Mitt Romney on the capital gains tax.
You made on your investments personally about $20 million last year, and you paid 14% in federal taxes. That's the capital gains rate. Is that fair to the guy who makes $50,000 and paid a higher rate than you did?
It is a low rate, and one of the reasons why the capital gains tax rate is lower is because capital has already been taxed once at the corporate level.
Oh, that's interesting. So he doesn't speak of himself and he doesn't speak of Bain. He speaks in the abstract. Very, very, very interesting. Carla in Miami, Florida. Hey, Carla, you have a question for Mitt Romney?
Yes, I do. I wanted to find out his position on the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People that Obama supported and endorsed in December of 2010. I wanted to know if he would reverse that or do you think that he would be in support of this declaration and how that would affect his foreign policy later?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm, you know, guessing that because that would expand the number of human beings outside of billionaires who get some kind of special protection from government, he would be opposed to it because most indigenous people are not really rich. But, you know, who knows? That's a very good question. Carla, thank you very much for calling and asking that. Marilyn in Oakland, California, you have a question?
Well, I do, and I've been thinking about this. This is, first of all, my burning issue is voting trustworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a different petition now to the one that I called you about before. It's Stop Computerized Voting on signon.org.
Mm-hmm.
Has no reference to any national ID, anything but getting our votes off computers. Now, here would be my question to the candidates. How can you allow our election software to be held in the hands of private companies who keep it secret from the people who are using it?
That's an excellent question. I would put that at the top of my list. Thank you very much, Marilyn, for calling and asking that. I think that that's a great one. Corky in Rochester, New York, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to ask him a question tonight. First thing I do is get him on stage and say, okay, you're so worried about the debt and the deficit. How about a transaction tax on Wall Street on the gambling, the credit default swaps, and the...
Right, a one-tenth of 1% or quarter of 1% tax on every transaction that happens on Wall Street, which would put out of business the machine traders, the robot traders, the robotic traders, the computerized traders, who aren't even traders. I mean, there's not a human being involved. There's literally a robot making a million transactions a minute, and it represents 70% of the total activity on the New York Stock Exchange right now, and it's just a scam. It's just a way of skimming money off the top, out of the stock market, out of your 401k, and into the pockets of a few Wall Street billionaires who own the machines. I'm with you, Jerry. That's a good one. Thank you very much for the call and for making that. Rich in Oneida, Tennessee. Hey, Rich, you got a question?
Oh, actually, I was just wanting to tell you something that I've experienced here lately with a debate situation. I'm running in the third district here in Tennessee for the United States House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a debate with Chuck Flashman and the Democratic candidate, Mary Hedrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the organizer and tried to get into the debate, and I was told I could be part of the debate. I didn't think it would actually come true. The next day I got an email saying that I wouldn't be able to be in the debate she had to first verify that I was certified with the state and verify statements I'd made about candidates while I was talking to her, which were statements that are part of the congressional record.
Rich, what's the point?
The point is that I was put out of the debate for, no reason at all.
Right. This is a serious problem. I'm with you totally. This is a serious problem. One of the main things that we could be doing and should be doing tonight is opening up our debates. I mean, I would like to see Gary Johnson and Jill Stein in that debate and Virgil Good. I mean, the other three candidates, you got two right-wingers, right? Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party, Virgil Good, the Constitutional Party, and you got Dr. Jill Stein with the Green Party. They should be on the platform along with President Obama and Mitt Romney and Governor Romney. It's just in my mind, common sense. In fact, I think that the debate of 92 was the last really, feisty presidential debate we had, because you had not only was Bill Clinton there and George Herbert Walker Bush, but you had that crazy old coot with the graphs and the charts and all that kind of stuff, and he took like what percentage of the vote? 15, I think it was 18 or 19% of the vote. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, we'll be back. 45 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Your questions for the presidential candidates right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Somehow I just don't think we're going to see another third-party candidate, another Ross Perot, for that matter, for a generation.
Don't let the smooth talk fool you. Don't let the sharks deter you. Don't let them small minds out there on prime time.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time tonight. The Obama and Romney campaigns working really, really hard to get their candidates ready, and the candidates. I thought the biggest tell for me of all of this, other than Chris Christie, I think trying to sabotage Mitt Romney, trying to drive down expectations and whatnot, was Michelle Obama yesterday, I believe it was, and somebody asked her, what do you think? How's your husband going to do? And she said, or what was your advice to him? And she said, just be yourself. People love you. Just be yourself. And I would say that's my advice to him. But I'm curious what Ben LaBolt's advice and thoughts are on this. He's the National Campaign Press Secretary for Obama 2012, BarackObama.com, of course, their website. So let's ask him. Ben, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Tom. You know, the Romney campaign said that there were three critical moments in this race in which Governor Romney's numbers would move. The first was the announcement of their VP candidate. The numbers didn't move. The second was the convention in Tampa. His numbers didn't move. And so now I think they're hoping for a Reagan-like breakaway performance at the debate tonight. We see this as a larger platform for the president to lay out the economic choice in this election between building the economy from the middle class out and the top down, just like we saw the convention. But apparently Romney has been preparing a bunch of zingers, and we'll be prepared for that tonight. Just by standing next to the president of the United States, five out of the last six challengers who faced an incumbent president were perceived as winning the first debate. So we have to be prepared for that scenario.
Right. There's a certain stature, gravitas, that is attached to you if you're standing next to the president of the United States, is somebody who's debating an incumbent candidate. Are you familiar with this study that a week or so ago came out of the Ohio State University about how post debate coverage of influences people's perception of what happened in the debate?
We know it certainly does have an impact, and there will be insta polls and these sort of instant scorecards. But we'll dive deeper into the numbers, because you remember right after the president's convention speech this year, a number of the pundits said that they didn't think that it was impactful or reached the right people. But we knew then that what Americans across the country were tuning in for, particularly undecided Americans, were to hear the details of the president's plan to restore economic security for the middle class, to create 1 million manufacturing jobs, to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. And that's what he laid out, and some pundits gave it a C the night of the speech. But then a week later, we found out in the polling that it had an impact, that it reached the American people. And so that's our ultimate goal tonight, is folks sitting at home on the couch, tuning in for the first time, and the president will speak directly to them.
Do you have any statistics or information on what percentage of Americans for whom this will be their first real, genuine analysis of the two candidates?
We'll see. The first debate the last time around, the last general election, had about 60 million viewers.
Right.
We'll see if viewing habits have changed. During the primaries and the convention, a lot more people were getting their news online, maybe taking in the debate later on. So we may not know immediately the entire impact of this. But polls out there have undecided voters between 5 and 12 points, depending on the state you're in.
Huh.
And we're confident that there are Americans out there that we can still reach.
Yeah, well, 5 to 12% is pretty substantial, particularly in races that are typically decided by a couple of percentage points or less. In the case of 2000, Al Gore got 500,000 more votes than George W. Bush, but let's not relitigate that. Where do you expect – well, actually, tell me about the next two debates. What do we know about the next two debates, how they're going to be organized, where they're going to be?
Well, the vice presidential debate will be next. It'll be next Thursday in Eastern Kentucky. That's the only debate between the vice president and between Congressman Ryan. And, Congressman Ryan just came out of a chamber that does nothing but debate day and night, it seems like, with these Republicans in charge. Mitt Romney called him the intellectual leader of the Republican Party, and we're expecting that he'll bring a strong performance to that. There's one more domestic policy debate between the president and Governor Romney in Long Island, and the final debate on the 22nd will focus on foreign policy.
Yeah, and these are all going to be very, very interesting topics, and interesting to see how it's going to play out. Any final thought? Oh, I know what I wanted to mention to you. I got a notice today from MoveOn.org that they're going to be fact-checking Mitt Romney's statements tonight live on the web. I signed up for that. Is there anything similar to that that you're going to be running off BarackObama.com?
Absolutely. Check out our Truth Team website and our Truth Team Twitter feed. We will be fact-checking Mitt Romney in real time tonight, so the next time he tries to blame the president for the closure of an auto plant that closed during the Bush administration or repeats the same lies about welfare reform, we'll get you the facts.
Right. So how do I get into that? How do I find that?
It's just at Truth Team.
At Truth Team. That's the Twitter feed. So
that's
this
right.
This is just pure Twitter.
That's right. We'll be on the website, on the Twitter feed, on our email lists and on the air.
We'll be surrounding you guys. Follow Truth Team, in other words, on Twitter.
That's right.
Okay. Sounds good. Ben, any final notes you want to share with our listeners or our viewers or both?
I guess we'll just have to watch out for Mitt Romney's zingers tonight and make sure we get the response.
Actually, a quick question. Yeah. Last night, Sean Hannity was just breathlessly breaking this. You know, did you know that Barack Obama talked to a group of African Americans and said something nice about Jeremiah Wright and all this kind of stuff, and brought on Tucker Carlson to break the story that Tucker Carlson had broken on MSNBC back 5 years ago? Thoughts on this?
I mean, this was a transparent and desperate attempt to change the subject from Mitt Romney's comments writing off half of the population. Everybody covered this event in 2007. The president, then senator, was in the midst of a presidential campaign. It was open to the press, extensively covered at the time. And if you look at that speech, it was about the loss of hope in inner-city communities where there wasn't a lot of job opportunity. And even Mitt Romney criticized the response to Katrina. So this was simply a transparent attempt to change the subject on that part.
And you may not say it, but I will. I think it was also a shout-out to the white racist vote. If they could get another 1%, you know, if they could just cut these slices. But anyhow, Ben LeBolt, BarackObama.com is the website. Good luck, Ben.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for being with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, so the welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, by the way. And all the hysteria on the Reich is totally, totally off the rails. Over 5 years ago, Senator Obama, running for president of the United States, speaking before a largely African-American audience, talking about problems in the inner city. And he went off script and went off on you know, what happened with Katrina and all that kind of thing. And this is the giant expose that Fox News released that had been played by MSNBC 5 years ago when it happened. And in fact, it was Tucker Carlson who played it. But last night he went on Fox News on Sean Hannity's show to say, I'm the guy Sean Hannity introduced him as the guy who broke the story. Like it was being broken right then on Fox News. In fact, he broke it 5 years ago on MSNBC. That got omitted somehow from Hannity's introduction. But here's just a little clip of Obama, and just notice he's talking to an African-American audience, and he's talking with a little more of a Southern twang to his voice than he normally has. And this, according to Sean Hannity, is proof that he's a racist. Listen.
Hurricane Andrew struck in Florida. People said, look at this devastation. We don't expect you to come up with your own money. Here's the money to rebuild. We're not going to wait for you to scratch it together because you're part of the American family.
Right.
What's happening down in New Orleans? Where's your dollar? Where's your Stafford Act money? Makes no sense. Tells me the bullet hasn't been taken out.
Yeah, and what he was talking about, the Stafford Act says that FEMA, that, you know, when FEMA funds come into a community, there has to be a 25% match. It was reduced to 10% around the time of Katrina. I believe it may have been a consequence of Katrina. There were waivers for the Stafford Act for Hurricane Andrew and for 9/11. And there's an ongoing debate, actually, about whether the Stafford Act should just be blown out altogether. And, you know, how do you expect, you know, New Orleans to do this? Now, there were some funds that were waived for New Orleans, and then there were other funds that weren't waived for New Orleans. And some of it had to do with funds that were both for New Orleans and for Iraq. Figure that one out. Okay, and the money didn't end up in New Orleans. Of course, it ended up in Iraq. But meanwhile, so Obama's getting criticized by Hannity and Fox and all these people on the right, Drudge Report and whatnot. That, they call it the other race speech. Right, in which he talks with a little bit more of a Southern accent, which just reminded me of George W. Bush. I mean, this is Will Ferrell, because he just makes the point so well from his one man performance act. And he's set this story up. George W. has got his brother Marvin and his brother Jeb and his brother Neil and his daddy, George Sr., and out the ranch, and he took them out to an old abandoned mine shaft, and they go down in this mine shaft to explore it because George W. Bush thinks it'll be so much fun, and it caves in. And his father starts going off on him about, you know, did you tell anybody that we were out here? And George is like, no. And then after George Sr. asked the question, and then George W. responds, then he tells about how his brothers start going off on it. And then the punchline. Just listen to this. This is hysterical.
Did you tell anyone where we're going? I'm like, no, I did it. I only thought we'd be gone an hour. He's like, you got to be kidding me. All of a sudden, Marvin started screaming, I crushed my maid with a car. And Neil
just occurred to me, there might be a swear word here. Anyhow, I'm going to skip past what Neil says because he says it about tie hookers. And
I'm being serious. Then my dad's like, why are you the only one in this family that speaks with a Texas accent?
That was the punchline for me. Why are you the only one in this family who speaks with a Texas accent?
It makes no sense.
So, you know, I don't recall anybody criticizing George W. for that. But this is somehow proof of some high-level conspiracy on the part of not conspiracy, it's Hannity and Drudge and the whole right-wing sphere is saying this is proof of racism. All right. Tommy Christopher pointed this out over at Mediaite. And he had just a great line on this. Let me find it here and share it with you, because it was just so well said. Here it is. He says, Tommy Christopher is the Mediaite White House reporter. He's been on our show a number of times. He says, this will be remembered as the day Sean Hannity, Matt Drudge, Tucker Carlson, and much of the right wing prepared to board their white resentment mothership, only to have it crash and burn. And anyway. But the question, what questions should be asked tonight in the debate? This is the Center for American Progress's five questions that should be asked but probably won't be. How will you reconcile the federal government's war on drugs with state-level legalization efforts? Now, one of the things I find particularly interesting is that at the same time that Canada and New Jersey is laying off their unionized police officers, firing them basically, so that they can hire non-unionized scabs at half the wage because they said, we just can't afford them, Kalamazoo, Michigan was confronting a crisis. They didn't have enough police resources. But instead of cutting the pay of their cops, what they did was they said, we're going to decriminalize pot. It's a waste of time to be doing marijuana arrests. So just, you know, it's not a crime anymore. End of discussion. That makes a lot of sense to me. And frankly, I think that this is one of those things where if Joe Biden would say it, and then the president would have to say, you know, sort of like the gay marriage thing. I think that if Obama were to come out in favor of legalizing pot or at least decriminalizing medical marijuana, that he would pick up a large percentage of the young people who call themselves libertarians and vote Republican. I think that they would vote Democratic instead. In what cases is it acceptable to conduct warrantless surveillance of citizens? It's a very good question. What specific measures would you support to reduce national gun violence? What would you do to reduce child poverty? Nobody's talking about poverty. You know, we've had no serious discussion about poverty in this country since Lyndon Johnson's administration. Bill Clinton actually talked about it on the stump in 92, his New Covenant speech, but mostly he was about the middle class. But the, you know, poor people who are living literally in poverty, just not discussed. How will you combat America's obesity epidemic? What are you going to do about this? This is a malnutrition problem that we have in the United States. So these are some of the questions. Now, somewhere here I had Michelle Malkin's questions. Ah, here we go. National Review Online. And this from the Heritage Foundation. They're talking about Obama increasing taxes. He actually cut taxes on the middle class 18 times. But they say his health care law contains 18 newer increased taxes. They're using that same number, 18, to try and create confusion in people's minds. And these are only taxes because John Roberts says they are. Well, there is an increased tax on tobacco as part of Obamacare to help pay for Obamacare. Say what? That was for SCHIP? Oh, okay. So that wasn't even for Obamacare. All right. Thank you, Shane. So should these tax increases be stopped to protect middle-class Americans from their damage? If yes, where would the money needed to help pay for Obamacare come from? Somehow the Heritage Foundation, nobody has told them that Obamacare actually reduces our expenses with regard to health care rather than increases them because it increases efficiency. What is your plan to solve the looming entitlement program spending crisis? Here's the one big question I would love to ask. This is, I think, probably Bernie Sanders' question. Is President Obama, you said that we should lift the cap on Social Security contributions above $250,000. Will you do that? And what about you, Governor Romney?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
That is, like, I think, the penultimate question, the question that if anybody has the ability to lobby Jim Lehrer to ask, should be asked. That and the medical marijuana one.
Just what the truth is, Mitt can't speak anymore, and he's above you. Yes, Mitt's above you.
That is Rocky Mountain Mike. Boy, that is a one good, what do you call that? It's not a pastiche. Song, a parody. That's right. Song parody. Thank you very much. Good one, Shano. Christy, in Good Thunder, Minnesota, you have a question for one of the candidates.
Yes, well, I'd actually like to ask both of them, when and how are they going to be getting our troops out of harm's way?
Right. And what do you define as harm's way, Christy?
Well, the Mideast.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to know why we need, 700 military bases around the world.
Well, me too.
Yeah. And
I know there's a lot of people getting TBIs, and I've been living with one for 23 years, and it sucks.
Who gets TBIs?
The military. They get traumatic brain injury.
Oh, traumatic brain injury. I'm sorry, TBI. I didn't recognize the acronym. Okay, I'm sorry to hear about that situation there, Christy. Thank you very much for calling. And that's a solid question. Scott in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hey, Scott, you have a question?
Yeah, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
My big question was: is the Senate and would both candidates support new bill, HR or House resolution? That would say basically that funding for disabled veterans and widows of service members would be paid like Social Security. They can't play football with it every political season. Right. In fact, they put a voice hold, a Republican senator put a voice hold on the current funding.
Right.
And they don't know if they're going to be able to get it in time, so not even much they get their 1% COLA increase, but the fact that it might goof up the system, you won't get the payment, and the VA is going to have to back pay everybody on top of it to boot to try and get it work again.
Yeah, it's a real mess, and it's good because some Republican decided to play politics with it. Excellent one, Scott. Thank you. Dan in Clinton, Washington, listening on Talk 1090. Hey, Dan, what's your question?
Yeah, I would like to ask the candidates, I actually like to ask all politicians this. We spend more money on defense than all of the countries combined. And we cut education, we cut protection for people here in this country. Police brutalize protesters for exercising their free speech. We cut heating assistance for elderly people and so forth and so on. I mean, the cuts are profound. My question is, what precisely are we defending?
An excellent one. Dan, thank you very much. Very, very good question. Hank in Muskegon, Michigan. Hey, Hank. You have a question.
Hi. Yeah, my question has to do with the taxation of labor.
Mm-hmm.
If we want, yeah, you know, originally the government was supposed to fund itself through fees and tariffs, right. And if not,
and profit. Did so up until the Civil War.
Yeah, so you know that's where we should be, and even property taxes. You can't own anything anymore.
Right.
You don't truly own your property. You're only leasing it from the government.
That's correct.
Because they can take it away from you every 2 years.
Yeah, I've made that point a number of times in this program. I think that property taxes are arguably the most regressive and destructive of our taxes. And on the other hand, I think that, you know, a wealth tax, a very progressive wealth tax, which we've never had in this country and is not at all uncommon in Europe. The French have it, the British have it, you know, most of the European countries have it, where after, you know, you just look at your net wealth. How much do you own in aggregate? And if you own, you know, $1 million worth of stuff or $5 million worth of stuff or $10 million, there's a certain threshold where the tax begins. And then, you know, every year you say, okay, you've got $20 million worth of wealth, pay 1% of that as your wealth tax. And it doesn't even hit the people who are, you know, in the bottom 99%. It just hits the top 1%. And the goal of that, the reason that was first passed in the UK back, you know, 150 or more years ago, was to diminish the power of the landed gentry. And, you know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, because it leads to feudalism and stuff.
Yeah, essentially. That's where we're at right now. We've got this very small bunch of very rich people. Thanks a lot, Hank, for the call. Excellent one. Alan in Gary, Indiana. Alan, you have a question?
Yes, to President Obama. We had four courageous men killed in our embassy in Libya. Mm-hmm. What did you know before the murders there? What did you act upon the information you did have?
Mm-hmm.
And how will you prevent any of this killing in the future with any of our embassies, not only in the Mideast, but in any other dangerous area.
Right. So are you one of those Republicans who thinks that this is something that you can impeach President Obama with after the election?
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. And my question to the Republican seeking the office.
Right, to Mitt Romney.
How would you have handled the same situation? Would you be transparent, or would you be more transparent than what we have seen in the situation?
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay. Thank you very kindly. And Jerry in Long Island, New York, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Yeah, there's one question on health care that I'd like to see President Obama ask, and there's another question on health care I'd like to see Romney ask. And specifically with respect to Romney, since on 60 Minutes he revealed he won't repeal all of Obamacare, and we keep certain parts of it, like the part pertaining to pre-existing medical conditions,
mm-hmm.
therefore I'd like to know what specific parts of the president's new health care law would he repeal. For instance, would he repeal or would he keep the part pertaining to the mandate to buy health insurance and things like that? And as far as the president goes, we all know, and the president has admitted it, and even his closest advisors like David Pluck have publicly admitted, that Obamacare is modeled on or based on Romneycare, and yet one of Romneycare's biggest failures reportedly has been with respect to controlling health care costs. And so therefore, since the president's health care law is modeled on Romneycare...
Right. What are you going to do about health care costs? My simple answer to that, Jerry, is require hospitals be non-for-profit, but...
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
And require health insurance companies to be not-for-profit, to go back to the laws the way that they were before the Reagan administration. But I doubt either candidate is going to talk about that. We'll see. Welcome back. By the way, a caller today is going to receive a free signed copy of my book, Unequal Protection, How Corporations Became People and How You Can Fight Back. The free signed Unequal Protection for you is sponsored by Stamps.com. That caller could be you, our number 866-987-THOM. And our question for the day, and I'm soliciting them. I was just talking to Louise on the phone during the break, my wife, and she said, and our producer, or one, she and Sean and Well, actually, there's a bunch of us who work. But in any case, without getting into titles, she said, I would ask, how many homes do you have? Remember that was a question that took down John McCain? And absent that, how many dogs do you have? Right? Will any dog come in your house? Remember Seamus tied to the roof of the car, right? Maybe how quickly they forget. Nell in Los Angeles. Hey, Nell, what question do you have?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for all you do. My question would be, where do they stand on what's happening in the Palestine and what the Palestinians are having to be subjected to? From what I heard from Alice Walker, it's even worse than slavery. They can't even walk on the same roads. If a child has to go to school, they have to go around the hill. Oh my gosh, where are the supposedly that we protect people's human rights? Why aren't we doing anything? And I would hate to think that my
I got it. No need to give a speech. So the question: what would you do about the situation in Palestine? Or a larger question might be: what would you do to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian issue? Right? Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Nell. Appreciate it. Ken in Great Falls, Montana. Hey, Ken, what's your question?
Yeah, on September 16th, the ice cap of the Arctic melted to its farthest place it's ever gone.
Yep.
And scientists are saying now that we're going to have an ice-free Arctic probably within 10 years, where it used to be 90 years away,
right,
and significant damage because of that.
Right.
It's not covered in the news. It's not covered anywhere.
Right.
And I'd ask these two candidates, well, the two people running for president, what on earth you're going to do about it?
Right. And I would add to that the coral, you know, the coral bleaching off, for example, the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia is down to 16%, if my recollection is right, of the story that I read yesterday. And
it's coming out like a freight train. Scientists are scared to death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are looking at an environmental disaster that's the consequence of, you know, too many people burning too many fossil fuels and behaving in ways that, you know, thinking that the planet is a wastebasket. That's a great question. Thank you very much, Ken, for that. Paul in Paulsbow, Washington. Hey, Paul, got a question?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, my question for Mitt Romney is, do you strive to be a god someday and rule over your own planet? And do you consider the presidency a stepping stone to becoming a god?
A Mormon question. That would be an interesting one. Thank you very much. George in Chicago, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call. And this is related to your book on how corporations became people, or actually more than people. This is related to trade policy. As you're probably aware, there's a trade agreement being negotiated now called the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes, sir.
This is actually a giveaway of an enormous amount of sovereign power to the transnational corporations.
As were virtually all the ones that preceded it, all the way back to NAFTA, GATT, the WTO. Yes.
Yeah,
although this one is even worse. Yes.
Yes. I became aware of this. I heard a radio interview with Lori Wallach of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch Organization on Sunday.
If you go to Conversations of the Great Minds, .com, you can see a half-hour conversation I had with her about this topic. So
excellent. Anyway,
she's good.
Just as two examples, it will remove the ability of states and local governments to institute Buy American policies with the spending of their tax revenues. It will also get rid of the ability of smaller companies and citizens to go to court and transfer it to corporate tribunals.
Right.
So
no,
my question would be to Mitt Romney, do you support this piece of trade,
this Trans-Pacific Partnership
negotiation, and to the president, do you support or oppose it, and why is it being negotiated like this under your watch?
Yes, excellent questions. I am totally with you. Carson in Arlington, Virginia, your questions.
Hey, Tom, great show. Real quick question for the candidates, and that's one of the few bipartisan points I think Republicans and Democrats agree on. Just way too much money in politics. A lot of it the result of Citizens United. So what would the candidates do, if anything, to either repeal Citizens United or at least blunt the effect of it?
Excellent question. Very good. Carson, thank you. Randy in Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, Randy. Question?
Hi, Tom. My question has to do with the Scott Pelley interview on 60 Minutes for Mitt Romney. I would ask Mitt Romney, he specifically said that he would split Medicare into two organizations. He would have one that would have the voucher system for those who chose that, and one that would have the conventional Medicare for the citizens who chose that.
Right.
I would ask Mitt Romney, if wouldn't he be growing government and wouldn't he be adding to the deficit if he created a separate Medicare office?
Okay, great question. And of course, we know that the reason they want to do this is to bankrupt Medicare so that they can privatize the whole thing. But excellent question. Adam in Denver, you have a question for one of the candidates.
I had a question for President Obama. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what he would do to strengthen the unions in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tom, if you have any comment on that, I would love any.
Well, I'd like to see Taft-Hartley repealed. Taft-Hartley in 1947 was passed through Congress. It was vetoed by President Truman. The Congress, this was during a two-year period where Republicans controlled the Congress, the only two-year period from the Great Depression until Newt Gingrich, until the Clinton administration, where the Republicans controlled the Congress. And Taft-Hartley took a bite out of the Wagner Act, out of the National Labor Relations Act, and made it possible to have right to work for less states and, made union busting an actual profession. And I would roll back. My answer would be I'd roll back Taft-Hartley. But, Adam, I'd love to hear that asked of the candidates. I'm with you. Vicki in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Vicki, your question.
Yes, there's a lot of discussion about health care and all that, and I don't see how they can even address the health care when they haven't addressed the problem of GMO and poisons in our food.
Aha, yes. And, the study that just came out of France about the Monsanto products that caused Russia to say no to Monsanto products. Excellent question. Thank you, Vicki. Barbara in Bronson, Florida, you have a question.
Yes, I have a jobs question for both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I live near a nuclear power plant that's broken down and has been for years. I want to know why we don't start a jobs program like the WPA and the CCC camp to build solar electric generators for each and every roof in this house and install them and pay the subsidies like they pay for farmers to get these programs going and give people meaningful jobs.
Excellent question. Excellent question. Germany did it. Why can't we? Barbara, thank you. Eric is it Emporia? Oh, Emporia, Kansas. Eric?
Hello. Yes.
Hey, you have a question?
Yes, I do. I would like to ask each candidate seriously what they think the average price of milk is per gallon.
That is a variation on the George Bush scanner thing. Are you in touch with the problems that face average working families? Excellent question, Eric. Thank you. Bob in Garden City, Michigan, your question?
Hey, Tom. I have a question for Mitt Romney. Why are you refusing to release the last 10 years of your tax returns, like every candidate in recent history has done, including your own father? And the fact that you're refusing to do it, isn't that an admission on your part that you know that if the American public saw your tax returns, nobody would vote for you?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you very much for that. Caroline in Santa Cruz, California, your question?
Hi, I'd like to hear in the debate the inclusion of what they're going to do in the infrastructure, such as when are they going to start discussing the removal of the old phone and power lines instead of just bridges and roads?
Yeah, and so let's start laying fiber optics and giving everybody high-speed internet like they have in South Korea and most of Europe. Excellent one. Bob in Seattle, you have a question?
Yes. I'd like to know why we continue to lock up nonviolent criminals in prisons and why we are building so many prisons and why do we have so many people in this country that are incarcerated. We lead the world, and it's disgusting.
Yeah. I can give you a short answer to that, and that's the Nixon war on drugs. And, Nixon's drug war accounts for about half of all the people in prison.
That's the promise that I'm looking for.
And then when you add to that the fact that we are privatizing our prisons, we're corporatizing and profitizing our prisons, you've got an even bigger mess because, they're now lobbying for these more severe and three strikes you're out and all these kind of things. So, excellent question, Bob. I would be right there with you. Pete in Detroit, you have a question for Mr. Romney.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I would ask, Mr. Romney got upset with the president for what happened in Libya, those murders there.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to Governor Romney would be, we have 30,000 gun deaths per year in this country, and 20 of them involve mass shootings. And what would he do if he's so enraged about four deaths? What about these 30,000 deaths?
Wow. And 30,000 here in the United States.
That's per year, Tom.
Are you sure it's that many?
Yeah. I'm talking about gun deaths. That's total gun deaths.
Oh, including
400,000 non-fatal gun injuries.
Right. Okay.
So and our gun deaths is 7 times higher than any other developed country in the world.
Right. And you know, part of that is, you know, arguably a socioeconomic problem, but the largest part of it is simply availability, in my opinion. But Pete, that's an excellent question. I would love to ask it of both candidates. Thank you very much for that. We'll be back with more of your questions for President Obama or Mitt Romney. What should be discussed tonight in the debates? We'll be back with more right here on the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And one of our questioners today is going to receive a free signed copy of my book, Unequal Protection, How Corporations Became People and How You Can Fight Back, sponsored by Stamps.com. Now, I'm guessing that's going to be a large part of what President Obama has to say tonight. We take care of our own. We're all in this together. It's the we society, not just the me society. We'll see. William in Blakeslee, Pennsylvania, you have a question?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? Yeah, I'd like to ask Mitt Romney, can you name one single issue you have not completely flip-flopped on?
Ha! That's a good one. That's a good one. He'd probably, you know, default to some fluffy thing like, you know, his wife or his church. But
right,
you know, can you actually think of any topic that he hasn't flip flopped on?
I haven't. It would be a sincerious question. I know it's a little snarky, but mean it sincerely.
Yeah.
Actually.
Right. Other than being a Republican all his life, I don't think there is one. Excellent. Well, thank you, William. I appreciate that. Bob in Hastings, Michigan. You have a question?
Hello, Tom. Yes, my question would be for Mitt, mainly. Why wouldn't he let employees have the chance to buy their company before the jobs are shipped over to China? And why wouldn't he have the feds provide them low-interest financing like the big banksters get?
Right. Excellent questions. I mean, I am so tempted to try to answer these, but I just want to let's get the questions out here. Jason in Factoria, Washington. Hey, Jason, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm an unemployed software engineer right now, and I'd like to ask both presidents what they're going to do about all the insourcing of labor from other countries that's just destroying our tech market up here for American workers.
So you're talking about the H-1B visas, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that mainly, yes. I mean, the offers that I've been getting for the current job openings, the benefits have gotten worse or non-existent. I've had everything from offers to their medical benefits are $150 a month to my health savings account to we give you $400 to go find your own policy a month.
Wow.
To $35 an hour, which is a quarter of the usual rate that we got during the Clinton years, and no medical benefits at all. And those kind of offers are coming from places like Georgia. I even had one lady call me for a position to relocate to Wisconsin, and I told her I wouldn't work in Wisconsin. And she said off the record, why? Because she's had 20 callers or 20 people she's contacted refuse to move to Wisconsin. And I said, well, because MSNBC has told us all about Governor Walker and how they feel about worker rights. There's just no way. And I found that's actually a good way to protest a lot of this, is I get a lot of job offers where they want me to relocate. Of course, I can't afford to relocate, and I like living here in the Northwest.
Right.
So, but I tell them I don't really care for the way they treat workers in that state, and I wouldn't work there until the legislature changed to a more pro-worker, you know, type of legislature.
That's a good one. Well, good on you, Jason. Thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for the question. Peter in Philadelphia, your question?
Hi, Tom. I would like to ask both candidates, which is better for an economy and therefore a community? Would it be one billionaire or 1,000 millionaires? And what are the last three pieces of legislation you've proposed or passed to support your answer?
Or how about 100,000 heirs?
Keep going.
Yeah, there you go. Or, you know, on it goes. Excellent question. Clayton in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Clayton, you have a question?
Hi, I have exceptionally severe asthma. I would ask them, what would you do to increase solar and wind power generation, prevent asthma attacks caused by coal burning, and create and protect our manufacturing jobs with a new rail system?
Okay, that's a great one. I like that. Thank you, Clayton. Tim in Joliet, Illinois, you have a question?
Yeah, I would like to ask both candidates to define the difference between someone that protects wealth versus someone that creates wealth. And in their plan, what do they do to create both of them equal, as we live in a land that says all men are created equal?
Right. So are you suggesting that we should all be equalized, or do you subscribe to the notion that what the founders meant, or what Jefferson meant when he wrote that, was that we should all have equal opportunity?
Well, I don't think that we'll all get equal opportunity, but I do believe that being that we run on a percentage system, it seems like the people that protect wealth are always getting stepped on for the people that create wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly does.
You can't create wealth without anybody to protect wealth.
Yeah, interesting point. Tim, thank you very much for the call. Excellent question. Juan in Chicago, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. My question is for Romney. My question is, how do you reconcile your faith in whatever it is, you know, however it is you see your faith, and allowing a business that basically deals in preventing people from becoming healthy, from living in this world? How do you justify that with the healthcare corporations?
Right. Excellent one. Excellent one, Juan. Thank you. Bob in Syracuse, you have a question?
Yes, sir. I would ask Mitt Romney, given all the money that Sheldon Adelson has given to get Mitt Romney elected, do you favor a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine?
Oh, because that's one of Shelley Adelson's big issues. Actually, I don't know what his position is on that issue, but I know that Israel's big issue. It's an excellent one. David, I believe that they both are on the record as favoring a two-state solution, but I know the president is. I don't know about Mitt Romney. David in Chicago, your question.
My question would be to both candidates. In this level of high unemployment and trying to get Americans to work, to follow up on Jason's call, why are we still allowing in over 1 million foreign legal workers every year? And specifically, what are you going to do to stop the legal importation to the effect of 20% of our high-tech workforce right now are foreign scab workers? And I would ask specifically to Mr. Romney, why are you using the H-1B or L-1 or what visa programs are you using to bring in those foreign scab workers from China to Sensata to extort severances from your workers at Sensata to force them to train? Because these jobs could never be offshored if they first weren't allowed to bring in workers on our visa programs to learn these processes to ship jobs overseas.
Well, I don't think that would have stopped it, but your point is well taken. Thank you, David. Nancy in New Richmond. I don't know what state you're in, Nancy.
Wisconsin.
Okay. Your question?
Yes, the proud state of Walker. And I'd like to ask Mitt Romney, if the business people are so happy that they can use the slogan, we built it, then why is it that they're so bad when it comes to unbuilding it? Wisconsin is got hundreds of businesses that just closed the door and left, and federal and state tax dollars are going to pay up for the vehicles we're left behind.
Yep, we have lost.
So I'd love the answer to that one.
Yeah, it's an excellent one. We've lost some 50,000 factories in the United States since George W. Bush was president. What are we going to do about that? We'll be back with more of your questions for the presidential candidates tonight, or our all-hoped-for questions right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. What questions should be asked of the presidential candidates tonight? Before we, I'm going to pick up your calls here in just a second on that, but before I do, just some of the stories of the day. You know, it's like, this is incredible. First of all, you know, Tucker Carlson, back in 2007, when President Obama spoke before an African-American crowd and let a little more of a Southern accent into his voice than he normally does, reported on that at the time. He had his own show on MSNBC. In fact, my recollection is that Rachel Maddow was his foil, his debating partner back at the time, the Tucker Carlson show. And he reported on that, and he went last night on Fox to break the story 5 years later, the story that he had broken. This is the latest quote from Tucker Carlson. People will say this has already been reported. Well, actually, it hasn't been reported. And I know because I reported on it the first time. Let me repeat that. People will say this has already been reported. Well, actually, well, I don't even need to repeat it. Okay. And Todd Akin. Todd Akin. I'm sorry. It's really sad. This guy might become a United States senator. And he is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, a Tea Party Republican. He said this: who wants to be at the very bottom of the food chain of the medical profession? And what sort of places do these bottom of the food chain doctors work in? Places that are really a pit, giving abortions to women who are not actually pregnant, cheating on taxes, all these kind of things, misuse of anesthetics so that people die or almost die. All these things are common practice. And all that information is available for America. Yep, those doctors at the bottom of the food chain giving abortions to women who are not actually pregnant. Is that illegal? I don't know. Or would you make that illegal? Anyhow, questions for the president or for the challenger? Let's just get right to it and go right through them here. Carol in Chicago, you have a question.
I have a question regarding economic patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
First part, it's a two-part question. The first one directly at Mr. Romney. He gave us the figures of the people who didn't pay taxes. I want to know if his percentage included people who didn't pay because of vast tax exemptions, you know, the wealthy who get to ride off their horses, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And did it also include the people who had, and what percentage of that had robbed the American treasure included people who had totally sheltered theirs, those who have offshore accounts in the Caymans, et cetera.
Right.
So the people who are using the treasure as well as the people who are not paying into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would like to ask both of them, Mr. Romney, Governor Romney, as well as President Obama, would they support tax reform in general? We need to have tax reform, and one specific area of tax reform that interests me is the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could grow our national treasure if we revise the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
Places like Harvard with their, or Yale with their $35, $40 billion endowments that pay little or no taxes,
right,
and they use big swaths of city land, or the University of Chicago, whereas the homeowners have to pay taxes. They need to revise the federal nonprofit so to have them at least pay on a percentage scale. If you got an endowment over $10 million, et cetera.
I got it. Make it a progressive.
Immediate money question into the U.S. Treasurer.
Okay. Carol, thank you very much. Excellent questions. Chris in Portland, do you have a question?
Yes. My question would be, is this a representative government or not? Been submitting people the petition to put Florida on the ballot here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a lot of people saying, I'm for Florida. This is a representative government. I'm happy to let my representative make decisions for me. And I haven't asked them outright, but from things they've said, they kind of suspect that they are listening to, you know, our local Jim Beck, you know, mm-hmm, what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how is Obama going to handle this meme or will it even surface for him on a national level? Is this going to cause cognitive dissonance?
I don't know the answer to that, but it's a reasonable question. Thank you. Roger in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Roger, you have a question?
I would ask President Obama why Don Siegelman is in jail. I would follow it up with what's he going to do to make us a nation of laws again, and have a suggestion to say Frog March in Karl Rove would be the start.
Yes, per Joe Wilson. Joe Wilson, right? Yeah. Yeah, very well said. Thank you very much. Mark in New York City, you have a question.
Yeah, hey, Tom. I would like to ask Romney if he's a proponent of the philosophy of Joseph Smith, which promotes what we would call theocratic ethics, in which Smith is known to have said that it's okay to lie in service to the Lord.
Okay, excellent question. Gary in St. Genevieve, Missouri. Question?
Yes. I would like to
just give this to both of them and have ask them, since doctors do not have to study nutrition, will you have the study of nutrition become a required subject in medical school? And would you remove the control over our nation's alternative health from the pharmaceutical industry?
Excellent questions. Thank you very much, Gary. Paul, in Fairland, Oklahoma, you have a question for Mr. Romney.
Yeah, I do. And then I got a way that people can fight back.
Mm-hmm.
My question to Mitt Romney is, you know, he wants to roll back minimum wage, do away with child labor laws, bust all the unions, and, you know, he wants to, on the side of the bus, it has more take-home pay. What is these good-paying jobs that he wants to create, what is a good-paying job pay?
Hmm.
And my response to people that want to help is to, I take the Nation magazine and the Southern Poverty Law thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I take my copies and I leave them in hospitals and doctor's office, because we know that most of these people get their news from Fox, and this is just another way to get that information out to the people.
That's great. Good on you, Paul. Thanks for the call and thanks for the question. Steve in Rotunda, West Florida, your question?
Hi, Tom. Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering about the, oh, my God, the...
Does it have to do with the right to life and a right to die?
No.
Okay.
If the...
Steve, why don't you call me back in a few minutes when you got it, okay? Tina, in New York City, you have a question?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi.
I would like to ask Mitt Romney, will his boys sign up before for military service, before or after he declares war with Iran?
Excellent one. Excellent one, Tina. Thank you. Maggie in Pittsburgh, California. Excuse me. Maggie?
Hi. No, sometimes my mail comes via Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
I wanted to thank goodness for free speech and thank you for you and your candid remarks. But I'm a senior, and I'm wondering what the president or Romney will do for seniors. It seems like it's attack, 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 and he seldom talks about seniors.
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you. Will, in Chicago, you have a question?
Hi, yes, Tom. For Governor Romney, does he consider himself less American based on the fact that he has investments in the Cayman Islands and the country of China, and as a result of that, how would he deal with our trade policies with the country of China?
An excellent one. Very good. Thank you. Lawrence in Berkeley, California. Quick question?
Yeah. For Obama, in 2009, you agreed with the Republicans and said that you couldn't increase taxes on anybody during a recession and therefore refuse to repeal the tax cuts on the rich, despite the experience of FDR and Clinton and despite the fact that poor people...
Okay,
you know,
Lawrence, we're out of time here, but we got to ask a question. I'll give a speech. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
More of your questions, some of my questions, the news of the day, your thoughts, our thoughts, collective thoughts right after this, 16 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 20 minutes past the hour. And Jeremy in Boulder, Colorado, your question for the candidates?
Hi, Tom. Actually, I think it was Admiral Stockdale, not General.
Admiral.
My memory serves.
You're right. Thank you.
Yeah, my question is actually for both President Obama and Mitt Romney. Being president, you're more privy than perhaps anyone to the size and scope of our military-industrial complex, as warned about by President Eisenhower, and by that I mean including the spying, the foreign bases, all the weapons, occupations, assassinations even. How would you justify our complex to the U.S. citizens, or what actions do you wish you could take, and what actions would you take to address it?
Wow, very good ones. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Denise in Linwood, Washington, your question?
Yes, my question would be for Governor Romney. You constantly tout that companies you created, like Staples, created jobs. How many jobs has Staples actually created? And have you kept track of how many jobs they actually destroyed? For instance, all the mom-and-pop stationery stores that were put out of business when Staples was created.
Right. I would submit that there probably hasn't been a net increase in jobs. In fact, there's probably been a significant net decrease. And if not at least in jobs, then certainly in payroll, because those mom and pop stores typically paid better than Staples does, because they were owned by people who had to, you know, who knew the people who were working for them and had to treat them well, and they lived in the community and all that kind of stuff. Denise, excellent question. Thank you very much for that. Bill in Clifton, New Jersey, your question for the candidates.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Yeah, Mr. Romney, given your latest version of your political self, could you name one living American that you would consider to be too right-wing extreme?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Who is too right? Because he's basically, he's never stood up to any right winger. That's an excellent question. Bill, thank you very much for that. Armin in Bradenton, Florida, you have a question?
I got a question for, his new name is Mitt, not Mitt, Mitt Romney. And the question I have for him.
Oh, Mitt, M-Y-T-H Romney, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, the question I have for Romney would be, what on God's green earth motivates you to take such great pleasure in screwing the working middle class of this country so far and so deep when you don't begin to need the money?
Yeah, very, very good question, Armin. Thank you very much. Abu in Merrittsville, California. You have a question?
Yes, I'd like to ask him about, any candidate. Health care should include dental care as well, because anything concerning with the mouth or disease of the teeth can cause the heart disease and heart problems. You know?
Yep. So shouldn't dental care be included in any health care package?
Yes.
Excellent one. Thank you very much. Paul in Woodinville, Washington. Your question?
For Mitt Romney, I would ask him if he believes that photo identification is necessary for a voter to prove they are who they say they are. Is it too much to ask for a presidential candidate to supply a comprehensive history of tax returns to prove that they are who they say they are?
Okay, good one, Paul. Thank you. Dan in Dallas, Texas, your question?
Hey, thanks for all you do, Tom. I guess my question for Romney would be, what exactly do you mean by 40% of Americans are victims?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a very good question. 47% actually was the percentage. He said these people think of themselves as victims. You're right. Cleveland in Chicago, Illinois. Your question?
How's it going, Tom? My question is for both the candidates on what would they do to address the mass incarceration of young African American and also Hispanic youth, and also what would they do to address the growing youth violence in Chicago?
Yeah, excellent questions. We need to revisit these conversations we had last during Lyndon Johnson's administration, and most people alive today don't even remember that, tragically. Cleveland, thank you very much. David in Portland, your question?
Yes, I have a question for both of the candidates. What would be their solution to the postal issue that is happening in the United States right now and taking care of rural America?
You're talking about the legislation that was passed in 2006 requiring the Postal Service to set aside $5 billion a year to pay for the retirement of postal workers 75 years from now?
Yes, ones they're not even born yet.
That's correct, yeah. That's a very, very good question. Thank you, David. Leonard in Brigantine, New Jersey. Do I have that right, Leonard?
Yes, Brigantine, New Jersey.
Your question?
I would like each candidate to say why voters should vote for the other candidate.
Well, that's
interesting. Ideally, let Romney go first, and regardless of what he says, Obama should just say they shouldn't.
No, that's not fair. But I get
it. Okay. Even if Obama goes first, he could still say they shouldn't, and Romney's still at a loss, because if he repeats it, he's no leader, and
right.
If he gives an answer, he still votes for Obama.
Yeah, okay. You win the gotcha award question, I guess, Leonard. Thank you for the call. Andrew in Robertsonville, North Carolina, your question?
Yes, I have a question for President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What are his feelings about the Navy SEAL who gave out the military secrets?
Uh-huh. Who wrote the book, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you, Andrew. Tony in East Hampton, Massachusetts, your question for the candidates?
Yeah, I would like to ask Governor Romney if he thinks the emergency rooms are available for people who have serious illnesses. Where is a family without health insurance supposed to take their children to get vaccinated?
You're talking about his interview on 60 Minutes where he was asked, you know.
And I live in Massachusetts where, you know, we have health insurance or health coverage for everybody. And, you know, I'm on Medicare and Medicaid now. But, you know, vaccinations, a shingles vaccination for my husband and I, which Medicaid covered for us, Medicare did not.
Right.
But without that, the shingles vaccine for one person was $300.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. Tony, thank you very much for the call, and that's incredible. 28 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your questions for the candidates, a few of mine, the latest news. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
That's right. And you can drop into TomHartman.com, by the way, and drop into our live chat room and say hi. You can even post some questions there if you'd like. It's the good, the bad, and the very, very rum gump. Deliciously ugly, the good. Expedia. In America today, we've become too used to corporations looking out for their bottom lines first and putting the interests of consumers and society second. Expedia, the popular travel website, has come out with a new three-minute web video promoting marriage equality. The web short chronicles one father's journey of acceptance for his gay daughter, his lesbian daughter, and her partner. It's an extraordinary clip. Do you have that clip, Sean? Oh, here it is.
My expectations of what Jill's life was going to be included a husband. So when Nikki came to ask permission to marry a little girl, that startled me. I told her, this is not the dream I had for my daughter. You have to make a decision. Are you going to have a daughter that you are going to maintain a very wonderful relationship for the rest of your life? Or are you going to lose that child? Once we got out to California and we saw how happy they were, all that trepidation just seemed to go away.
Here's to Expedia, a corporation finally doing some good in our society. The bad. Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, part of the disastrous Bush administration that pushed America into a war based on blatantly false intelligence, admitted last night that getting intelligence wrong, quote, has got to be embarrassing. The only problem was that he wasn't referring to himself. In an interview on Fox so-called News last night, Rumsfeld attacked the Obama administration's handling of the intelligence behind the Libya embassy attacks and specifically called out UN Ambassador Susan Rice for being wrong. Speaking about Rice, Rumsfeld said, I thought it was amazing that someone in her position would go on with that degree of certainty that fast and that authoritatively and be that wrong. End of quote. In other words, Mr. Rumsfeld's interview on Fox so-called News was the ultimate example of the pot calling the kettle black. And the very, very ugly Dr. Keith Abloh. Abloh is part of Fox so-called News' esteemed panel of medical professionals. On yesterday's episode of Fox and Friends First, Abloh took part in a segment ironically called Normal or Nuts. In the segment, a viewer called in asking whether it was normal for him to be hoarding food, weapons, fuel, and survival gear in preparation for who knows what. Take a listen to Abloh's response.
Listen, here's the thing. Way normal.
Really?
You're like, really? Yes, because how can this guy be crazy when the Iranians are close to getting a nuclear weapon? It may be that the rest of us who aren't amassing survival gear are the crazy ones.
So even for Fox News, that's taking fear and warmongering to a whole new level. This fully licensed and accredited doctor suggested that every American should go into all-out survival mode for what clearly is an impending war with Iran. The fact that Dr. Abloh is let on the air is bad enough. The fact that he went on the air to promote such profound absurdity and misinformation, now that is very, very ugly. Okay, your questions for the candidates. Back, we've gotten some really, really good ones, some really brilliant ones. And so let's pick back up again. Ken, in New Garris, Wisconsin. Do I have that right?
It's New Garris.
Ken, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a
both candidates.
Okay.
We know that the breakdown of income growth since 1981 when our debt exploded. Would you be willing to start, say, a 20-year plan to pay down the debt based on tax increases corresponding to income growth? Like, for example, the top 0.1% got X percent of income growth, thus they would pay X percent of the debt.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, I think they got 275% or some number like that of the income growth over the last 10 years. D.B. Cooper, really, in Santa Cruz?
Hey, yeah, it's Tom. How you doing there?
Good. Your question?
Hey, yeah, I do. I would like to ask both of them, with 80% of the population in favor of rescheduling cannabis, 56% of the American people in full support of full legalization, how can you justify continuing to arrest sick people and throwing them in cages with violent people? And if you absolutely have to outlaw a plant, how about outlawing poison ivy? You know, that stuff will mess you up.
You're right. And you know, this continent used to be covered with cannabis, and now there's none. And so it actually might work. Actually, there isn't none. There's a fair amount, but, you know, none that it's obvious. Ken in Newark, Ohio. Hey, Ken, your question?
Yes, my question is for both candidates. With all the talk of Reaganomics starting all this stuff, my question would be, what are their plans to rescind Reaganomics and reinstate Glass-Steagall?
Okay, excellent. Craig in Des Moines, Iowa, your question?
Yeah, since the Johnson Library is released and we had the Reagan October surprise, well, this is for President Obama. Will you start prosecuting former presidents for treason? And this would ensure your presidency and future presidents from being so easily corruptible.
Okay. I think the only one who's alive who is involved in that kind of stuff right now is George Herbert Walker. Well, there's George W. Bush, too, actually. Two Bushes. Uh-oh. Tom in Atlanta, you have a question? Tom in Atlanta? Going once? Okay. Bob in Laguna Woods, California, you have a question?
Yes, sir. This is for Mr. Romney. Your wife the other day made a statement or remark about worrying about your mental health. And my question is, have you been tested for autism?
Okay. Mitt Romney. I'm surprised that that comment by Ann Romney didn't get huge play. It's just, it really surprises me. Jermaine in Chicago, you have a question?
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm from the garbled mess of answers about any type of plans we're getting. I'd like to know why they're coming out of Ryan's mouth and not Romney's.
Excellent point. Excellent question. Okay, why is Paul Ryan the numbers guy, not Mitt Romney? Howard in Miami, Florida, you have a question?
Yes. My question is for Mr. Romney. He has pledged to... Governor Huckabee, that he would sign a personhood amendment, which would make life begin at conception.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also indicated that he would support abortion mm-hmm. in instances of rape and incest, and I think the life of the mother. Those are two contrary positions. So which one would he now take at this point?
Okay.
And if he takes the position that he wouldn't support personhood, how does he explain to the people who elected him in the primary as a nominee that he's changing position now?
Okay, excellent one, Howard. Thank you very much. Gary in Missoula, Montana, your question?
Yes, for the president.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that Obamacare is funded for 12 years. What happens after that? How do they fund it?
Okay, excellent question. I didn't know that it was only 12 years. I thought it was designed in perpetuity, but I could be wrong. Sandy in Spanaway, Washington. Hey, Sandy, your question?
Does Romney think he's the fulfillment of the Mormon white horse prophecy?
Hmm.
The Mormon prophecy says that when the U.S. Constitution is, quote, hanging by a thread, that a Mormon will come along as president to help the nation so that the U.S. Constitution would not be destroyed.
Right. And in 1846, I think it was, the election, or it must have been the election of 44. Let's see, even number year, yeah, it would be the election of 1844, I think it was, Joseph Smith ran for president
right.
To fulfill that prophecy and was murdered a few months after he announced his candidacy and before the election, so we never got to find out. But, Sandy,
right.
Good one.
Thank you.
Tom in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Tom, your question?
Same question about the
White Horse Prophecy. Amazing.
Hmm. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, but does he believe he is the one?
Right. Okay.
And
that's.
Does he therefore believe he is divinely guided, and is that why he has no choices and no opinions because he thinks they come later?
Yeah. Well, that's my personal conspiracy theory about Mitt Romney, but and I would love to ask him that question. Tom, thank you very much. Vi in Ripon, California. Hey, Vi, your question
for Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that Trump, in receiving $97 million from the taxpayers in New York to build a golf course in the Bronx where people, children, are going hungry, he's considered the maker.
And, and those hungry children are called the
considered the taker?
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Excellent question, Vi. Thank you very much for calling with that. Mark in Lafayette, Indiana, you are on the air with your questions.
Hello. Basically, regarding the Greg Palast report and Strategic Allied Consulting, basically, if this is a felony regarding voters' rights, does that in any way make Mitt Romney implicated for felony charges after all corporations are people?
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Excellent question. Thank you, Mark. Alan in Auburn, Washington, your question.
Hi, my question is just really simple, but to Romney first, what are your plans going forward from now as far as Social Security is concerned?
Yeah, yeah, that is an important question. And now that the tape, I don't know if it's come out yet or if it's about to be released, but there's video of Paul Ryan saying that their goal was to privatize both Social Security and Medicare, and he actually used the word privatize. And, you know, that's going to be a big one. Thank you, Alan. Jim in Chicago, you got a quick question? Jim in Chicago?
Yes. My question would be for both candidates. With the industrial-military complex, has there been any consideration to have it develop, have them start developing green energy and all the money that would be spent into that? Whereas one time it used to be
Put that military money into clean energy. Excellent question, Jim, rather than protecting the shipping lanes for the old fossil fuels. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
What genuinely astounds me is we've been doing this for 2.5 hours, and I don't think a question has been repeated more than once or twice. It's amazing.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Oh, you tell them, Leonard, what a great voice. Jane in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, you have questions for the candidates?
Yes, and also I wanted to let you know that Democracy Now! Is doing a special tonight on Free Speech TV at 8:30 called Expanding the Debate.
That's right.
And yes, and they're going to be asking the same presidential debate questions of other party candidates.
Yeah, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, I believe, are going to be on.
Yeah, I didn't know if there's any anybody else, but I know they are. My question is just why is it so difficult for other party candidates to get their voices heard?
Excellent question. Thank you, Jane. Paul in Madison, Wisconsin, your question for the candidates? Paul in Madison?
Oh, yeah.
Your question for the candidates?
I want to know about if someone could think about restoring the Commodities Exchange Act.
Ah, okay. Undoing Phil Gramm's Commodity Futures Modernization Act and going back to commodities being regulated markets rather than unregulated markets. Excellent one, Paul. Excellent one. Bruce in Atlanta, Georgia, you have a question?
Hi, Mr. Hartman. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, well, actually for you and for possibly Obama as well, referring to some information that Dinesh D'Souza on Book TV gave recently about President Obama ignoring family needs of his family members in Kenya and also of a school there that's supposed to be named itself after him in his father's hometown, and he has yet to give aid that he had promised to them. I was wondering if any of all of that is true. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Excellent question. I don't know. It may well be. I mean, you know, it's when Jimmy Carter was president, his brother Billy got rather notorious. Jimmy wasn't helping him out. He was so Billy was selling beer. Remember that, Billy Beer? Anyhow, Ron, in Minot, North Dakota, you have a question for the candidates?
Yes, I do. Yesterday, Williston, North Dakota, which is in the center of the Bakken oil field, had an earthquake, and experts, whoever these experts are, assured us that it is not connected to fracking, which is how the Bakken is being developed, fracking.
Right.
So both the fracking procedures in North Dakota and the Keystone Pipeline, will both candidates support continued oil field developments when the processes like, you know, the environmental hazards that both fracking and pipelines pose, will they continue to support that in face of the disaster that courts are risks?
Okay. Excellent question, Ron. Thank you very much. Beverly in Douglasville, Georgia. Beverly, you have a question?
Yes, sir. Would both candidates, for the gas, the utilities, the food, everything going up, when are they going to give back a cost of living raise because the paycheck keeps going down?
Excellent question. And when are they going to raise the minimum wage? And when are they going to configure COLAs on everything from Social Security to veterans benefits in ways that actually reflect inflation? Excellent question.
Because we used to get a cost of living raise.
Yeah, and it's been a couple of years. I'm with you, Beverly. Thank you very much. Excellent. Marcia in Seattle, you have a question for the candidates?
I do. I would ask Governor Romney, way back when he was asked about why he didn't submit his tax return, someone questioned him about whether he had paid taxes or not. And he said that he paid his taxes according to the legally, to the extent that he was legally responsible
right.
to pay them. And I would ask him if he wouldn't extend that same ability to the percentage of the 47 million Americans that he accused of somehow not being irresponsible because they did not pay taxes.
Okay. Or being having victim mentality. Thank you, Marcia, for the question. Eric in Gambler, Ohio, you have a question for the candidates?
Yes. I'm an organic farmer, and I would like to know from both candidates what they plan and what they propose as agricultural policy that will protect us from the apparently imminent failure of genetically modified crops, the extensive use of glyphosate, commercial name Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sustainable agriculture policy do they propose for the United States to feed us in the future?
That's a great one. And, Eric, I'm going to put you on hold here because Shano tells me that you are our caller for the day who's going to receive a free signed copy of my book, Unequal Protection, How Corporations Became People and How You Can Fight Back, sponsored by Stamps.com. Kim in Fremont, and you can, by the way, Shane, you can tell Danielle it's line 7. Eric is on line 7. Kim in Fremont, Wisconsin.
Yes, I have a question for Mitt Romney. You effectively blamed Barack Obama for the election of a Muslim Brotherhood member in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pursue past policies of the United States where we overthrow legitimately elected members of government and replace them with those that would be more favorable, whether despots
right.
or...
Should we go back to Shah of Iran-type policies?
Sure.
Excellent
sure.
question. Thank you very much. Jim in Southern Maryland, your question?
Hi, Tom. How you doing, bud? Getting by real quick, I'd like to ask both of them what words of hope they give us union workers in the energy sector losing our jobs.
Okay.
Mine workers, railroad workers, power operators under the Clean Coal Act. I mean,
don't you think that
you're union, you're
well,
not
actually,
union.
I'm not.
We're
yeah.
union workers.
No, I got it, Jim. I'm not gonna try and debate it. Thank you. Excellent call, Matt in Midland, Texas. Matt, your question.
Yeah, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. First, I'd like to say I'm an oil-filled liberal from Texas, which is kind of rare.
That's great. We just have 30 seconds for you, Matt. Quick one.
Yes, if Mitt Romney keeps rephrasing the top 1% as job creators, yet the GAO tells us that in 2010, the top 1% took 97.3% of all new wealth creation, then how much more can we give them to fail to do their job and create jobs?
Excellent question, Matt. Thank you very much for the call. And, wow, and thank you so much for all brilliant questions. What an incredible list. I am so impressed. We will be back tomorrow. Of course, we're going to be talking about the outcome of the first debate and where this thing is going to go and, you know, my analysis, your analysis, others' analysis, and what this means for the future of our country. That's the most important thing. And don't forget, democracy begins when you show up. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartman.com.